So if you guys have your Bibles, we are starting a new series this month. We are going through the I See a Church. That's the name of our series this month. We're going to be looking at the vision and the mission and the values of our church. And what I want to do is I really hope that you see that what God is doing through our church is weaved into a story of the kingdom of God and what God is desiring to do, not only in this church, but in this community and in your life. And so I hope this message challenges you this morning. I hope that what is spoken about this morning will inspire you, will challenge you, will encourage you. We're not going to take a lot of time this morning because we want to get to communion. But I hope that what is said this morning will help you to realize that, man, we're part of something significant of what God is doing. You know, I love history. I love a good story. I will sit, my wife will fall asleep as I watch PBS documentaries. I don't even like country music, and I watched a 10-part series on the history of country music, and I was fascinated. Talked about all these, you know, the Carter family and Johnny Cash and like all these other people, you know, just all these people. Again, I don't even listen to country, but yet I love a good story and I love history. And so one of the first things I looked at when we came to Vacaville was like, you know, why was Vacaville founded? And I found out it was named after a guy named Vaca. It was not named after cows. You know, I found out Vaca Peña was named after the two founders, the school, two founders of this community. And so anywhere I go, I love the story. I always say I love the story behind the story. You know, there's something about these things. And so what we do here week in and week out, what God is desiring to do as a part of the kingdom of God week in and week out is tied to a larger story. And there's stories behind the stories. You know, we know that we're in this building, but yet, you know, at one point we met in a school across the street. And at one point, you know, we had Pastor Alton and Lori and their story and their heart for this church that birthed the ministry that we see here today. And so we're connected to this larger story ultimately of the kingdom of God and what God desires to do in Vacaville through this church and through you. You know, I think one of the most powerful things about the story we heard about the missionary that went, because we think a lot of times church is about what I get out of it, what is it for me. You know, and I'll often tell you, as an adult, I didn't need my parents to feed me. Instead, I became about not what I could get, but what I could give. As adults, right, it becomes not about what, you know, usually you need people to give to you if you're either not healthy or you're a child. You take care of children because they're not able to take care of themselves. You take care of sick people because they're not able to take care of themselves. But when you're healthy, and I believe this plays out in our spiritual life, you become more about how you can give back to other people. And so church stopped being about me a long time ago. You know, when I come here, it's not like, well, they, you know, singing my favorite songs. Are they doing what I want them to do? Are they somehow fulfilling what I need? Because as a healthy adult, I don't need that. What I need to do is, where am I about getting out into the community and helping find the sick, the broken, the poor, the wounded, the people that need Christ? Where am I about giving back to what it is that God has called me to do? And you see, I mean, that's to me the best way to explain the book of Acts. God empowered a church through the baptism of the Holy Spirit to go out and change the world. And they gathered, what, for fellowship and for encouragement, but then it was always about going back out and going out and being a part of what God wanted to do. And so I love a good story, but in order to know where I'm going, I need to know where I've been. And you know, we're first connected to the New Testament church. Our first connection is the New Testament church, and there's two verses that's going to tie into this whole thing today. The first one is Mark 16:15. He said this. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." And so we see that they went out and they preached the gospel. They took the good news to the world. He goes on to say in Matthew 28:16-20, Matthew wrote this. He goes, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed to them. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus said and spoke to them, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations.'" Get off this mountain. "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you." And he goes, "I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." And we see that the message of Jesus was driven by this idea, is go. Literally, it's like, get out. It's like, I almost imagine, you know, they're up on a mountain. Jesus is like, "Why are you here?" He's like, "Go out and preach the gospel. Go out and tell people the good news about what it is that God has done." And so our initial story, the story of Sanctuary Church, starts in the New Testament when God filled his church with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they were empowered. You know, the church poured out. They began speaking in tongues. They went out into the community, and the people began to hear in their own language about the message of Jesus. And we see that an empowered church, we talked last week about an empowered faith, which we tied to the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit to then live out the life God calls us to. Your story, my story, the story of this church is tied to the story that began in the book of Acts. It began by God calling, meeting them on a mountain and said, go therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples of every nation. Go out among the people. Go and be what I've called you to be in the world that you are in. I think sometimes we relate more to the fact that they gathered on a mountain away from everybody, but that's not God, what God called them to do. Or they go and they meet up in a room, right? They meet up in a room, the Holy Spirit falls on them and it sends them out. And so I think so oftentimes we worry so much about trying to gather and stay here, and God's about trying to push us out into the community and into the world. Your greatest ministry is not how you serve the church in this building, though it's very important. Your greatest ministry is what you do when you're outside these walls, whether it's in your family, your work, your community, living out the life and speaking the truth of who Jesus is and how, again, the hope that is found in that can be true for all people. And so God, he does this work. And so we realize that our story is connected to what Jesus began 2,000 years ago. And so when you read the Bible, do you consider like somehow your faith is connected, not just in reading it to help me, you know, okay, I need to follow this because the Bible says this. It's like, no, I'm a continuation of what Jesus began 2,000 years ago. What you do as a believer is connected to what Jesus began 2,000 years ago. And so we realize, and I see a church, and I see a church that began 2,000 years ago, and we look at where we've been, we realize that we're a part of what God began in the New Testament church. And so that is something that can inspire us and encourage us. You know, I also consider this, is that, so not only are we part of the New Testament church, we're also part of a movement. A little over 100 years ago, in a little building on Azusa Street in L.A., there was a movement that where the Holy Spirit fell on a group of people. And it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to go out. And it literally created a revival that has drastically impacted the world. I would argue what happened a little over 100 years ago has probably had more influence in the last 100 years in any other movement globally. So many of the missions work we see, so much of the evangelism work we see around the world can be traced back to what God did on Azusa Street just a little over 100 years ago. See, our church is a part of the Assemblies of God. We believe that the Holy Spirit was given to us to empower us to not only live the life that God has called us to live, but to go and do what it is that God has called us to do. You know, and I realize in my own life, you know, I still remember one of the first times I got up in front of people to speak, I was nervous. You know, or maybe you feel like in my own ability, I'm not able to do these things. But again, we believe that with the Holy Spirit in me, I can live out and do these things that maybe on my own I couldn't do. And so when I look at the story of Azusa Street, and there was actually a house in L.A. that we visited one time, and I remember they said it was actually where everything really began in this ministry, and then it moved to Azusa Street, and it was the Bonnie Bray House, I believe is what it was called. And I remember we went in there, and they were telling us the story and the history, and I loved it. And everybody had gone, and you know, everybody seemed like they'd had this great experience, and I'm just like, I walk into the living room, the dining room of this house, and I'm just walking through, and all of a sudden, it dawned on me what God had done there, and I just began to weep. And I don't do this a lot, you know. I did cry Wednesday when the A's lost. Very heartbreaking. But Mike, I know, cried as well. So we're kind of... But, you know, I walked in, and it was just in that moment that I think the significance of what began there really hit me. And I think sometimes some people look at history and they think, oh, that's nice. And I think they miss the significance of what God has done and what God continues to do. And again, from there, they went out. You know, they met in this home, and God empowered them, and they went out. They met in Azusa Street, and they went out. And then in 1914 in Hot Springs, Arkansas, because I love history. I was in Springfield this last summer, like second time I've been there. It's humid and hot in the middle of the summer. You guys know this stuff well. Miserable weather. So I go into the Assemblies of God National Headquarters, and they have a museum. First thing I go to, all right, museums, history, I love that stuff. And I walk in, over and over, you would see this theme. They went out. You see, one of the things we repeat over and over is that we want to be a church where people come to know and follow Jesus. The way that happens is we go out. We go out and we build friendships with people and we invite them. Or we go out and we build friendships with people and we explain why maybe our life was a little different because of what God is doing in our life. And we walk through, and the thing that drove the Assemblies of God was missions and evangelism and prayer. Those were the three things that kept being stated over and over again. And part of what I think happens is we miss the point of that. You know, we have, in our culture, everything has become very self-centered. Extremely self-centered. As a whole, our culture has become fairly narcissistic. It's about the selfie. It's about everything about my purpose is honestly very selfish in its language. But yet when you see God move, it becomes very opposite. He takes the phone and he turns it the other way. And we begin to look out the door. He calls us to go out the door, look out the window. And he begins to realize that a life filled with Christ is not about the phone turned towards me, but it's about me turned towards the world, about how I can have an impact in the community and the world that God has called me to. And so if a life that you're living, it tends to be focused a lot on you, it might be a couple of things. You need healing in an area. Because I notice when I'm wounded, I focus on that. And so I tend to be inward when I'm wounded. And I've noticed that about my life, that when I'm wounded, I tend to be very focused on that thing. Or, you know, but when I am healthy, what do? I'm focused outward. And so I've often wondered, people that tend to be very self-focused, I don't think they're intentionally trying to be selfish. I just think they're wounded. And that maybe the reason a lot of people in our culture have turned things back onto themselves is they just kind of need somebody to come along and help them in their brokenness and their woundedness. Now, they may not call it that. They may not even think it's that way. But yet I've noticed that when I'm healthy, I tend to be about what it is I can do to help others, bless others, minister to others. But when I'm wounded, that's when I tend to kind of close in. And so God, he calls us to these things, and we realize the Assemblies of God and in this powerful movement that we are a part of, he calls us to be people. So we are strong, and we are going to continue to build, and I challenge you to spend time in prayer. And I bet you if you pray, God will call you to support missions. If he doesn't, I would question you heard from God. I honestly believe that, because I firmly believe that part of what our call is to do is if I can't go, I need to help others go. And the reason that God calls us to give to the church is so that we can accomplish what it is that God is doing. You know, can I be very honest? If you're not faithful in your giving, you're hurting what it is that God desires to do through his kingdom. And that's not me, that's scripture. You don't help me, you don't help like what I need. But where are we about what God is calling us to do? And then when we do ministry, why are we not being a part of the things that God is doing? And it may be something the church is doing, or it may be my dad every Monday goes to a rest home and he plays his harmonica and he ministers to people with music. And he doesn't do it. And it's just something he does. So where is it? And you know what he talks about all the time is that. He talks about how he carries his harmonica. He has like even a boom, not a boom box, but it's like he has a speaker for his harmonica. I mean, he's got like the gig. He plays it, he puts it, he ministers. The thing that gets him excited is ministering to other people, because that's what healthy people do, to be very honest. And that's what God calls us to do. So if you're reaching a point of spiritual maturity, turning outward is a sign of spiritual maturity. Being inward is a sign that God still has work to do in you. And so we encourage you that. So man, I love that as part of the Assemblies of God, our vision is connected to the birth of a movement that happened 100 years ago. Our story is connected to what God began 10 years ago through the Finlaters when they planted this church. I love that we were able to have him here a few weeks ago, and he shared, you know, kind of a new vision of where God is taking them. And I love that we get to be a part of that, and that we're going to, you know, very soon start helping them on a regular basis in their ministry. Christ for all nations. And I think that, you know, it's exciting. And so on Friday, we're going to have, Heather and I are going to have dinner with them, and we're going to hear more about what God's going to do in them. And I always, again, love history, so I'll tell them, like, hey, I asked him the other day, Solomon, I said, hey, what is it that really was birthed in your heart for this church? What is it that's just, what are some things that were really important to you? Because I realize what we're still doing here today is connected to what they began 10 years ago. And so I asked him, and he actually sent me, he goes, well, I have this thing I wrote up. And he said this, he goes, the Finlaters planted the church to build a spirit-filled, multicultural church family that glorifies God, develops people's God's given dreams and talents, and expands his kingdom here on earth. What a beautiful image of what he desired to create, what God desired to create through him, that God continues today. And I read that and I go, that's what we still want to do. We want to use people's gifts. We want to be a church that reflects our whole community. You know, we live in a very diverse community, beautifully diverse, that God has called his church to reflect. You know, last time I checked, heaven is going to be filled with all tribes and all nations. So why not start that here? And I love that that was a part of his heart and that was a part of their desire. And we want to continue that, because we know the value of seeing that. I mean, the church is meant to display the kingdom of God here and now. Amen. The world begins to see now what heaven's going to look like. Amen. And so we celebrate that. So I read that, and he sent that to me, and I loved it. And, you know, the thing I gathered from what I had read, and you know, this was a long document, and I read all the different things, and I realized their heart was to see a church that looked like heaven. It'll be all tribes and all nations. So it was a church that looked like heaven. Their heart was to see people use their gifts and talents to minister to one another. I mean, we have some amazing people that do some amazing work in ministry. You know, every week I go and I upload a sermon because Kent makes sure that every week it gets recorded so that we can put it up. Every week, you know, he makes sure that things are ready. Honestly, I never have to double check with him. I never have to be like, hey, Kent. He has to check with me. He's like, hey, did you send me what I needed? And I'm like, it's like 5 minutes before church is going to start. Here's the PowerPoint. Oops. You don't have to worry about worship at all. You know, and you know, Eva and Heather and I, we had one-on-ones with some of our ministry leaders, and we were just talking about just how amazing our worship is and how, you know, her faithfulness to this ministry is really, we're seeing the fruit of her, of God using her talents, and God just working through her, you know, and it's just, it's a beautiful thing. And we see that this is a continuation of what was birthed in the heart of the Finlaters, you know, over 10 years ago. Their heart was for a church that impacted the community of Vacaville. I love that last part that he said, is that it would expand his kingdom here on earth. You know, there was a statement that he said in the document that he'd written that really jumped out to me, that is really something that's important to me, is that he had a commitment to restoration. And I think that word restoration can carry out into relationships in families, relationships in communities, relationships, you know, in some capacity, restoration for people that face drug addiction. You know, we have two families now that have been able to take their kids to Teen Challenge, and God is doing a work of restoration in their lives. I mean, can we celebrate that for a moment? What a powerful thing of what God is doing. And so it's exciting. And so I saw that word restoration. I'm like, I mean, that's straight Bible right there. You know, and I think, so where are we about the work of restoration that God desires to do? We want to continue to see that. And it's a journey. It's messy. Tim Keller is a well-known minister that he's retired now. He's written a lot of great books. And he just said, he goes, man, faith is messy. Living life is messy, and if we're willing to get into the messiness of helping people, then we're really going to see the fruit of helping them through that. You know, if we're willing to journey with people in the journey of life that can get really messy, we're going to see restoration, we're going to see healing, we're going to see God do amazing things, because we're willing to be a part of what God desires to do in the lives of people. And some of you had messy lives, and you needed people to walk with you. Some of you might have messy lives, and we are here as a church ready to walk with you, because we want to be about what God is doing through his kingdom. And so we realize that our mission is connected to the heart of pastors who planted this church 10 years ago. I think my favorite part of all this is that we're a part of your story. I remember the day that Heather and I drove through this community. We knew that God was calling us here. We didn't know what it would look like. We had hardly met you guys. We simply had started a conversation with Eric out of Hillside, who's going to be here in a couple weeks. We want to make sure you're here for that. And we just realized that God was calling us here. And it wasn't, we didn't know, hey, Lord, how are you going to take care of us? How is this going to happen? How is that going to happen? We just knew. And it was just a moment where we both were just like, this is what God is calling us. We didn't know what struggles we potentially faced. We didn't know what different situations we'd go through, but we knew that God had called us. So I'd sent out an email that all of you, I want to get all of you to somehow send some responses back. Three of you have responded so far. For the three of you that responded, you're my favorite people right now. The rest of you, you're going to have to work on, yeah. I'm taking credit. And so the rest of you, I love you as well. But we want to invite you. We want to know, what's your sanctuary story? What is it that either has brought you here, or how has God worked in you through here? And how have people ministered? Like, what is it that's your sanctuary story? And you can send it to me. You know, we want to create some testimonies of, like, and the reason we come to church, I don't come to church because I just, you know, I get to sit in my favorite chair, because they're all kind of uncomfortable, all right? What I come for is the fact that people here have impacted my life. So I want to read a couple of them to you, that what some people said. One said, I've been attending Sanctuary for 9 years now. And I remember the major reasons I fell in love with this church. And some of the content has been edited. For those of you that wrote these, you're wondering where parts of it are. I only have so much time. He goes, the church was... I fell in love with the church was because of the love for Jesus and the love for the community. I've always felt welcomed with open arms, with no judgments passed on with how I was living my life. They helped me when I was down. They gave me a job cleaning the church when I needed money, and they genuinely show Christ's love through their actions. Person two said this, he goes, I was at a place in my life where I didn't want to serve anymore, and truthfully, I was done with fake Christianity. I was looking for something real. And when I started to go to the Sanctuary Church, I experienced real people again that truly represented the love of Christ. I was accepted and I was loved, and God allowed my heart to heal and to trust again. There's that restoration. Person three said this. She goes, I'm by myself, longing to be with some warm, wonderful people that accept any color. I choose to be a part of Sanctuary because there's a group of seniors there who are warm and friendly. It's nice to have friends and people who accept me in your church. I go to visit my daughter on the East Coast, she says, for a couple months, and I spend some time with my grandchildren. But she goes, thank you for looking out to the community and winning souls as you can, because I believe that God is coming soon. And I want to encourage you to keep sending your stories. And there are some themes that, again, kept popping up in what you guys were writing that I think is very important. And I want to close with this. Is Eva comes, and we can even have our ushers begin to get ready to serve communion. And I know we're going to have the kids come in to join us. Here are the things that kept popping out to me. We need to be a church that reflects our community. You know, our mission is what? To know and follow Jesus. Our vision, we'll talk about next week. And in that is basically, we want to be a diverse church that reflects our community. It's written into our vision. And so we realized that to many of you and to us, and I've heard it in languages. I was sitting with some of the guys at our when we were passing out bottles of water, and they talked about how one of the things they loved when they came to Sanctuary Church is that it was a church that reflected heaven. There were all tribes and nations represented here. And what a powerful value that we can hold on to and continue. I remember Pastor Scott Hagen, he said this. He goes, I want a church that reflects heaven and that looks like heaven. And I want that to be something that our church values. You, in this, we see that you desire a church that loves one another. You know, it becomes about authentic relationships and community. That we are a church that is welcoming and inviting to all generations. Because every generation is valuable to God. Every nation is valuable to God. Every person is valuable to God, and we can encourage one another. I read and I looked at all these things, and I realized that we are a church that helps people grow deeper in their faith in Christ. That is something that when I read these things, I realize is important to you. And lastly, we're a church that impacts our community. And our goal is that we are a church that impacts your story. That somehow when you tell somebody your story, you can say, you know, Sanctuary Church was a significant part of what God did in my life. You know, there's a church in Yuba City I grew up in that was a significant part of my life. If I ever were to talk about Calvary Temple, now Calvary Christian Center, they're significant in my life because they helped shape my faith. You know, I talk a lot about my family. You know, recently it would have been 15 years and my mom passed away, and I remember how much she shaped my life, but I also know this. The church that my parents took me to had a significant impact on my life. One of the things that's fun when I talk with Gail is that a church that she grew up in, I would eventually serve on staff at, and knowing that that church shaped the call that she now answers today, that she shares with you today. And so there's a story that's weaved together that God uses to change the world, to be about the kingdom of God, to be about what God desires to do through you, in you, outside these walls. And so now we're going to take communion, and we want to invite you, go ahead and let's serve communion. You know, when we take communion, I'm reminded of this. I'm reminded that communion reminds me of how I'm connected with what Jesus did with his disciples on the night that he would be betrayed. I'm reminded about the work that Jesus began. And so this holy, sacred moment that weaves the whole church together, because we remember that we are a continuation of God's story that he's doing in us and through us. So you guys, I take communion with you this morning because our stories are connected together in the kingdom of God. I take communion with you this morning because our story is connected to what began 2,000 years ago in the early church. And so when you take these elements this morning, when you consider what it is that Jesus has done, how can you remember and consider what it is that God began in your life when somebody first told Jesus about to you or shared Jesus with you? Maybe let this morning remind you of what it is that God has done. Sometimes my faith is inspired by remembering what it is that Jesus has done. In the moment, I might be worried about something. I'm trying to have faith in something. When I remember what God has done, that helps inspire the faith that I need to remember that he's again going to do what he promised. So we want to invite you to that this morning. And I believe the kids are coming in hopefully soon. Either way, we're going to do this. But you guys, we want to invite you. Let's stand as they finish passing these out. And we're going to begin to worship. And in a moment, we'll take communion together. But let's just worship this morning.
Pastor Communion.
Time is so sweet.
we make sure that we bring the kids in during this time each month, because there are two things that the early church commanded, or that Scripture teaches the church to do. It's to take communion together and to baptize believers. And so I want to say really quick, if you haven't been baptized and you desire to be baptized, please let us know. We would love to baptize you and celebrate with you your decision and your desire to go public with your faith. But the second thing that Jesus called us to do is to remember that night that he would gather with his disciples, and they took communion and they remembered the crucifixion. They remembered the death and the suffering that Jesus took. And it says that on the night he was betrayed, that he took the bread and he said, "It represents my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat it together." Let's take and eat together this morning the bread. He goes on to say that he took the cup, and he said this cup would represent his blood, which would be shed for us, and it would represent the new covenant that would now be established between him and his people. We are part of that new covenant that he established. And so when we take this, we remember that he took upon himself our sin, took upon himself our brokenness, he took upon himself our suffering, so that we could find freedom, we could find hope, we could find life in him. So on that night he said he took the cup and he blessed it and he gave thanks and he said, "Take and drink it together. Let's drink together the cup this morning." Come on, let's just worship. We're going to sing again. As we close out our time, I want to invite you. We're going to sing this one more time. We're going to sing for a little bit longer. Remember what it is Jesus has done for you, and consider how you're a part of the bigger story of what God is doing. We take a moment just to worship a little bit longer as we've taken communion. Let's worship.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Well, let's sing this out together this morning. Close out our time this morning. Can you just lift up your hands? And I just want you to do this. Just thank God for something that he's done for you this week. Remember something that God did for you this week. So when we go home, when we go about our business, some of you are going to go home and watch football, and your team's probably going to lose. I mean, the Niners are going to win tomorrow night. We know that's going to happen. But we know also that you're going to remember all the things you have to do. All these things are going to flood your mind. Where are you going to take time this week to remember what it is that God has done for you? What's God done in your story? What's God done in the story of how we're connected to the early church, to what God did 100 years ago in Azusa Street, what God started 10 years ago through this church, and how now it's connected to your story? Consider what it is when you look through all this. There's been one constant, and that God is faithful. Amen. And that God is true, and God meets you in the moment that you need him. And that we are a part of the bigger story of what God is doing in this church and in this community and in your life. So this week, celebrate that. This week, make an altar at home. What we do on Sundays is just temporary. It's a moment in the midst of your week. But hopefully it's the start every week of remembering what God has done and what God will do the rest of the week. And so, Father, I pray that as we go today, I pray two things. If they don't have relationship with you, I pray that, God, they will make a decision to follow you. And I pray that if there's anybody here that's wondering what it means to follow Jesus, that, Lord, they'll go to the back corner room where it says, I have decided, and they'll talk with Olga, and they'll ask her more about what it means. Or maybe they desire to be baptized. They can also go and speak with Olga. And Lord, I pray that they will consider these things. But Lord, I pray that as we go about our week, that God, we will remember the story that you are writing in each of our lives, and how that, God, you are the author, you are the finisher, and you are the beginner and the finisher of our story and what you desire to do. And I pray, oh God, that you will use everybody here to be a part of the story that you're writing through our church and how we impact this community. In Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen. 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 You guys have a great Sunday. Hopefully see you next week. We got, again, a Bible studies during the week. Invite somebody next week as we continue our series. We just pray you guys have a great week.